live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Our Flames Talk postgame show is underway on this Tuesday night. Flames have made it 9 in a row at the Honda Center with a 3-2 overtime win over the Ducks. Lots to talk about on this Tuesday night. The Flames win the game, lose Connor Zeri to a scary-looking hit, and now get set to take on the LA Kings on Wednesday night. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. Megan Mickelson with us as well, the color voice of the Flames. Mick, a resilient win for the Flames. I know you're really impressed with the way that they dealt with the really scary Connor Zeri injury. He collides with Drew Helleson in the second period. Knee on knee hit. Helleson ejected. 5-minute major for kneeing and the game misconduct. Before we select tonight's hardest working Flame, just how did you see the Connor Zeri situation that removed him from this game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, watching the replay a number of times, like, I don't think it was a malicious hit. I don't think that there was an intent to injure. And I mean, I've been a defenseman in playing a rush and in a scenario one-on-one where the forward cuts to the middle of the ice on you, and as soon as you know, like, there's nothing else you can do to keep them from going by you, sort of a natural last second reaction is to kind of just stick your knee out just a little bit. And so, you know, I've probably watched the replay now 15 to 20 times, and there is a slight knee. So, you know, I think for me, that's the biggest part, is that, you know, you don't think that, or I don't think that, you know, it was an intent to injure, but I do think that Helleson stuck his knee out a little bit. So it's really tough to see. And I mean, Connor Zeri was clearly in a ton of pain. And I mean, there's a lot of possible outcomes in the way that his knee sort of leg hyperextended. But you just hope that it's not, you know, a full blown knee ACL or anything like that. Yep. So, I mean, I know how tough that rehab is. So my heart breaks for him, you know, even just having to deal with what is, you know, a left leg or knee injury. So hoping for the best for him. But I love the response from the group after that. You know, I mentioned it's tough to see a teammate go down like that. It really is. Mentally, emotionally, you're managing a lot. But I thought the group responded really well.
Let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. I think this one's a pretty easy one, Mick, but which way are you leaning for the hardest working Flame this evening?
Yeah, one thing I haven't mentioned is how well I thought Dustin Wolf played.
Yeah.
And how many, you know, key saves he made in this game. So I thought that he was excellent. But yeah, before we even chatted about it, I had Mackenzie Weegar just by far and away, to me, the hardest working Flame in this game tonight. You know, 2 points, a goal and an assist, you know, 5 shots, 11 attempts, a hit. But just thought that he played a very composed and confident game, and always loved to see that from him when he's moving the puck well. So just thought that he had a really solid game, and it's his birthday.
Yeah.
So have to pick Mackenzie Weegar.
Happy 31st birthday to Mackenzie Weegar. Goal, assist, and a 3-2 overtime win over the Anaheim Ducks. Mick, marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. Final thought that I'll throw towards you. Great way to start off. We talked about this stretch of 8 games in the next 10 on the road, including this back-to-back. What a way to start it off. The second half won't be easy in LA, but at least, and I know the Zeri thing will linger, but you know, they definitely can be feeling good about the way they played going into a tough game against the Kings tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you know, I do think that there is something to be said about, you know, having, you know, either whether it's a dad's trip or a mom's trip or a mentor's trip or what it is, but knowing that that group is there, that the moms are here, that you can get extra energy from them. So you'd hope that on the second half of a back-to-back, when you're, you know, you're a little bit tired, fatigued, whatnot, that you can kind of pull from that energy from your mom. And you know, I mean, I think of all the things you do as a mother for your kids, and so you would think that with all the work the moms have done for those guys over the course of their lives and careers, that they can dig deep and try to find a little bit of extra energy. But it's not going to be an easy game against the Kings. And, you know, the Flames, they'll be the first ones to say that. They know it's going to be a really tough game, and they're going to have to be at their best for a full 60. I thought they got away with some stretches where, you know, the puck didn't end up in the back of their net, but they cannot play with those lulls in their game against the LA Kings.
Get out of here, Mick. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson, the color voice of the Flames, as we sign off from Honda Center in Anaheim on this Tuesday night. By the way, our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Boxing Week blowout is on at the giant Country Hills Toyota. For a limited time, save $3,000 to $5,000 on every Tundra. It's time to Toyota. So here's the situation when it comes to Connor Zary. Flames won't know what the severity of that injury is until after he gets some imaging done. So he'll get the MRI or whatever the imaging ends up being. And then they'll have a better idea, you know, and I know that a few people have pointed this out. Derek pointed it out a couple of times during the broadcast tonight. You know, the two season ending knee injuries the Flames have had this year have been of kind of the almost non-contact or non-contact variety when it comes to Kirkland and Mantha respectively. And were, you know, torn ACLs that kind of happened rather innocuously. Well, this one not innocuous on the Drew Helison hit, and he looked bad. I mean, nobody's going to dispute the fact that it looked horrible, and seeing Zary writhing in pain like that was awful to see. We'll get into opinions on the hit in just a little bit. I thought it was a borderline reckless play. I didn't think necessarily dirty, because I dirty is like when you try to do something and there is intent. This one was a little more, I think, reckless, split second cut by Zary. And but there definitely was a movement of Helison's knee. I've never been in either situation. I've never been in Zary's situation trying to avoid the defender, nor have I been in Helison's situation, you know, trying to separate player from puck. And he was trying to deliver a hit, and I don't think that he was trying to go knee on knee by any stretch of the imagination at all, but it still happened. And that's why I say, I think personally a little reckless. I think personally one of those plays where you don't want to see maybe the follow through quite like you saw it. And I know that it's split second. I know we're talking about the fastest game on earth and all those types of things, but yeah, that would be what I would say to that. Hopefully it is far worse looking than it actually is, and better than it looked on in real time. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to find out. And we won't find out until after Connor gets some imaging done on that left knee. But fingers crossed that we're not talking about season ending for Connor Zary. Doubt that they will recall anybody for tomorrow's game or Wednesday's game in Los Angeles. I think that we will probably just see Walker Dewar go in, but then once they have a little bit more intel in terms of what the Zary severity is, then they can make a call on which way they want to go for a recall Thursday or Friday before their next game on Saturday, which happens to be against the LA Kings as well. So we'll have lots of time to talk about the Helison hit. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was there is intent, or I didn't think he was trying to hurt him or anything like that. Still thought it was borderline reckless, beyond unfortunate. And the worst part is you got one of the most important players on the Flames who could have sustained a very, very severe injury. It is your Flames Talk postgame show. Steinberg along with you. Let's go from the Flames dressing room now, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And let's start it off by hearing from the head coach, Ryan Huska, just finished at the Honda Center in Anaheim a couple of minutes ago. Here's head coach Ryan Huska postgame tonight.
Well, I'm sure from the coach's room you're hearing a little bit of the excitement in the hallway. You know, this is that feeling you're talking about, though. You got the win, obviously most important part, but you know, what's it feel like here at ground level?
It's interesting, that's for sure. Like, I mean, it's, you know, when someone leaves the dressing room because there's a big roar from their moms, but I think that's a cool thing, and I'm glad they were able to help us get a win tonight.
How did you see your group here tonight and how you were able to get it done?
I really liked the start. I thought they picked it up at the end of the first period, and I thought we were on our heels a little bit, but we stuck with it. So it was another road game where we found a way to win. So that's three of our last four after struggling on the road for a bit. So it's something for us to build on. And at the end of the day, we scored a power play goal to allow us to win. So we'll take that.
Any update on Carr?
I don't yet, no. I haven't talked to Kent, so I don't have anything for you guys, sorry.
Were you concerned at the egregiousness of the hit? Or?
When I saw it live, Eric, I didn't like it, but I haven't had a chance to watch it again yet.
All right. Do you like the way your team rallied around that, though?
Sure. I mean, absolutely. Even Jacob jumping in there like he did, that's out of comfort zone for a player like that, but it's important. I really do feel that way.
And then just, you know, to get a couple of, we talked a little bit this morning about the start and trying to maybe, you know, get some of that offense and use it. But you got a couple breaks here tonight, too. And, you know, I think Nas said kind of felt like you earned those breaks, too.
Well, you could say we got a couple, but we also hit a number of posts that, you know, when I thought we were playing very well in the first period, you just want one of them to drop and go in for you. And then we could try to build on that. I like that we ended the first period up a goal. That was important for us because it's been the period that we've talked a lot about over the last little bit. So finding a way to be a good first period team and play with the lead is something we have to keep trying to do.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game. As you'd expect, no update from the coach on Connor Zeri. And now we wait to see what the severity ends up being in that regard. He's, as we talked about, going to need some imaging before we find out definitively. So that's the scenario when it comes to Zeri. You definitely heard what you... Well, I think you can agree with what the head coach had to say, though. Pretty resilient game. Lots to like. You know, maybe not perfect, but they found a way to win this one, and they come away with the 3-2 win on the road in overtime. The overtime winner comes from Jonathan Huberdeau. Another big goal for the team's leader in points and goals. Make it 17 goals this season for Huberdeau. And let's hear from him post-game in Anaheim as well.
Well, maybe just obviously get a couple of good bounces here tonight, but, you know, what is the win? Just trying to find a way to eat this one out on the road, what do you mean?
Yeah, for sure. It was, big for us coming in and get a good win. I mean, they took everything, but I thought we had a lot of chances tonight and finally got rewarded with a good bounce at the end.
Just that overtime session, obviously some chances right before that, but to see that puck kind of come the way that it did right in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, just a lucky bounce, but I think, you know, it was good for, for 4-on-3. We've been struggling a little bit, so I think we'll take that bounce, and it's good to get the first one for the Monster.
Yeah, just what does it mean to you have them? The box obviously explodes a couple of times here tonight, but just, you know, to get one for them.
Yeah, it's just great. I mean, I can't wait to hear how was their day and stuff, and I think obviously finishing it with a win, it was great. I hope they had a good time, and right back at it tomorrow for another win.
How tough was it to see Connor Zeri lying there on the ice?
Yeah, it's never easy. I mean, we've been unfortunate this year, I feel like. I don't know what he has exactly, but I'm saying he looked like the knee from what we saw. But, yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's never easy to lose, especially, you know, he's playing well, he's playing with confidence, and, you know, it's tough to see a guy goes down, and it's part of the game, but it's sad.
Did you guys kind of rally around that a little bit too? Just, you know, in that moment, obviously tough, you know, but just the way you had to play around that too.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, got to take that and it lifts you up. I mean, doing it for Connor. And I mean, we didn't score on the power play, but I think, you know, we generated some momentum and, you know, stick with it and get a big one.
There you go. That is your overtime hero tonight, Jonathan Huberdeau. His thoughts post-game following a 3-2 win over Anaheim. I've heard some of the other post-game. Nothing, I'll say this, nothing inflammatory from Nazem Kadri or Mackenzie Weegar when it comes to the Zeri hit either. Nazem Kadri, who we'll hear a little bit later on, basically said... they called a major on it. They reviewed it, so I assume it wasn't good. And Mackenzie Weegar, kind of same thing. Nothing definitive, nothing inflammatory or nothing big on it. So Yeah, that's the situation when it comes to Connor Zeri and the injury that he sustained in the second period this evening. That's our look from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. Text line is jammed, but the phone lines, we got a few lines open if you want to chat. What'd you think of the Drew Helison hit on Connor Zeri? I would imagine that's going to be a large topic tonight, and lots of other things that we can talk about. What do you want to talk about tonight? Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. This is your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Following a 3-2 Flames overtime win on the road in Anaheim tonight, it's your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, the phone lines are open. Got a few lines open. If you want to chat, call now. 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. Text line is jammed and continues to be jammed. The phone line's a little thinner. It's a late one, so that's the way it usually goes. But if you do want to chat, you can call now. We've got a few phone lines open at 403-240-4444. You won't get a busy signal if you want to jump in. I imagine the Connor Zeri conversation is going to be a big one on the text line and the phone lines. Your thoughts on the Drew Helison hit and what happens next. Plus, I will say, I thought it was a pretty solid night for the Flames. I thought they were the more dangerous team. I thought generally they were the better team in this game. When it's all said and done, Flames own 54.3% of 5-on-5 possession, 5-on-5 shot attempts tonight, 51-43 in favor of the Flames. High danger scoring chances over at Natural Stat Trick, 13-7 Calgary, including 10-5 at 5-on-5. So I thought generally throughout the night, I thought the Flames were the better group. They could not ever extend that lead beyond one, which, you know, has been one of their issues this season. So that's just one thing that they've kind of gotten used to, is playing in close games. And because extending leads is difficult to do with for this team, it does allow teams to hang around, of which the Ducks did. But I thought the Flames were pretty resilient tonight. You add on top, the actual game itself, where they couldn't get more than a one goal lead, but then you got the Connor Zeri thing and how much of a mental hit that much it must be. Yeah, I think there was a lot of resilience shown by the Flames in this game, and good on them to get the 2 points tonight. They had a tough game in Los Angeles on Wednesday on the second half of the back-to-back. It's time for tonight's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And Dustin Wolf got the start in net, second straight start for Wolf tonight. Thought he was pretty good. Thought he actually was very quietly important to this win when the Ducks did have some offensive flurries, and they've got some talent on that team. Dustin Wolf's Save of the Game comes in period number three.
Ducks win a defensive zone draw. Carlson will knock it up to the near side to Killorn, who slides it out to center, ahead to Leeson. Leeson to Carlson. He steps in, shoots, and is stopped by Wolf. Leo Carlson stopped by Dustin Wolf on a breakaway.
So that ends up being one of the 25 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. Okay, that would mean Dan Vladar likely gets the start against LA on Wednesday on the second half of the back-to-back, which is where he's seen a lot of starts this year. That's another difficult circumstance, but Wolf got the job done in the first half of the back-to-back. I believe the Flames are now 4-0-1 in the first halves of back-to-backs this year. And next up, they will try to win the second half on Wednesday night. Okay, let's get to the text line for the first time at 960-960. This reads, about time they got some luck. Go Flames. That comes from James living in Edmonton. Seb says, feisty road win for the boys. They understandably looked really rattled after Zeri's injury, but rallied to stay competitive and scored a huge overtime power play goal. But more important than the win tonight is the condition of Zeri. Fingers crossed that it wasn't nearly as bad as it looked. And again, on the Zeri front, probably some imaging up next, and then they'll have a little bit more of a definitive answer. This from Kyle. Good game tonight. I felt like the right team won. Hard fought, lots of physicality, back and forth. It's fun to watch. I didn't see much of Kuzmenko. I was pretty hard on him last game, was hoping he would prove me wrong tonight. I feel awful for Zeri. That was an unfortunate contact. Like you said, didn't look malicious, but it could have been avoided for sure. Here's hoping it's not serious, but all my experience with those kinds of injuries, I'm not feeling good about it. Hopefully the Flames are able to figure out their road wins this go around. Who do you think they'll pull up? If Zeri stays out, young, talented center, I'm thinking Cairns. Well, I don't think it's anybody going into the game against LA. My guess would be they just keep Sharon Govich. They moved him to the middle. Just checking in, my guess is that it'll probably be nobody for the game on Wednesday. Sharon Govich stays down the middle. Dewar comes back in. Then you come back Thursday, day off, travel day, Friday, practice day, maybe, and I don't mind the Rory Karen's suggestion at all. If there's ever a time to go down that road, I think this would be it. And so give him a look, and if it works, awesome. If it doesn't, well, there's no harm in sending him back to the American League. And yeah, that would be a large possibility. And for the first time, I think, hey, this could be a really good opportunity to get Cairns in, because you're potentially looking for a center. Now, they might try Sharon Govich down the middle, because I know they've been talking about moving 17 to the middle for a little while here. So they might try Sharon Govich down the middle and go another direction if they need to. But I would suggest no recall for the game against LA. Things can change, but at last check, I don't think we'll see a recall for the game in LA. And bring Dewar back in, shift Sharon Govich to the middle, and go about it that way. And plus, you know, Walker Dewar's been with the team. It's the mom's trip. Probably good to get him back in. And then you can go the recall road ahead of Saturday's game against the Kings, would be my guess. That's kind of the word right now. But again, things can change before they drop the puck or decide what they want to do for the game against LA on Wednesday night. This reads from John and Deer Run. Coleman is so great for this team. What a great signing. No disagreement for me on that one. This reads, Pat, I don't know how one can consider what happened to Connor Zeri unintentional. Surely an NHL player knows that when he sticks out his knee, he's going to cause another player to be injured. It's hard not to get angry watching one of the core players being hurt that way. The Department of Player Safety better get this right by suspending that asinine player from the Ducks for at least 3 games or more. Not that it could undo what happened to Zeri. Here's hoping that the injury looks worse than it actually is. Glad the boys could win one for their moms. I don't think there was intent to go knee on knee. I think what happened was Hellison was trying to deliver a open ice hit to the chest, and he did get chest contact on Zeri, but Zeri cut, and then Hellison's natural reaction, and Mick explained it really well. Mick, a former Team Canada defender herself, made the kind of spelled it out really well. Like, was going to deliver the open ice hit and separate player from puck, which would have been clean, but Zeri cuts, and the reaction from Hellison is to move his knee, and that's where the reckless part comes in. So it's a split-second thing. I don't think there was any intent to go knee on knee. I think it's the natural reaction of a lot of defensemen, especially if you feel like you're going to get caught. I mean, Mark Giordano had it happen a few times when he was with the Flames. Remember the Mikko Koivu hit? And people were furious at Gio for the Koivu hit, but there wasn't any intent. It's just a guy. There wasn't any intent to go knee on knee, but it was still reckless, and Gio got suspended. And luckily, Koivu wasn't out long term, and he was able to come back. That's what I hope happens with Zeri. I don't think Hellison was trying to go knee on knee, but I think he was reckless, and I still think there should be Department of Player Safety. So do I think he intended to hurt Zeri? No. Do I think he intended to go knee on knee? No. Do I think it was reckless? Yes. And when things are reckless, you can get penalized for it. And I think the Department of Player Safety should take a look at. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's kind of where my head's at right now on the whole situation. So I guess it comes down to what your definition of intent is, right? This from Dylan in Revy. Huberdeau with the make your own luck play. Gotta love it. I'm not holding my breath with the Zeri thing. Not sure there was intent, but it was gross. Legs don't bend that way. My favorite forward on the team, probably out for the season. Hope it's not as bad as it looks. My favorite quote of the night was Kelly Rudy saying he can't stop smiling because of the moms. What a gem. What was Uyghur doing in front of the net? Hey, whatever he was doing, he scored. So you'll take it. That was my first reaction to what is Uyghur doing there on the 1-0 goal? But hey, you'll take it. Ash says, Joel Hanley definitely gets my vote for most underrated player on the Flames this season. He's now +7, which is very impressive considering his limited minutes. Also, I thought Sharangovich was snake bit today. If Zeri is out for the foreseeable future, a productive Sharangovich is critical going forward. And maybe moving him to the middle for a little bit could be part of him being a little bit more effective, a little bit more dangerous. I know the Flames have been toying with moving Sharangovich back to the middle for the last few weeks because they feel he'll have the puck on his stick more, and thus they feel maybe he'll be a little bit more dangerous. Funny enough, this next text says, when do you bench Sharangovich and make a call-up? I thought Sharangovich was good tonight. I know he didn't score, but boy, he was all around it tonight. I thought that was another positive night for number 17, especially knowing that things have not been positive of late. 11 shot attempts, 6 scoring chances, 4 at high danger, got 1 shot on net. I thought that was actually a really positive night for Yegor Sharangovich. So, we will agree to disagree on that front. Wedley says that Flames mom cheer in the background of the interviews was great. Hope Zeri's okay. Wedley up to no good in Bridalwood. Be good, Wed. This from Jeff in Lethbridge. A tremendous shame to lose Zeri like that. There's no way that'll be short-term by the look of it. He's probably, along with Kadri, their most skilled player. I really don't think there was any intent to injure and was glad there wasn't a preoccupation by the players to seek retribution. Part of that would be the fact that Helison got ejected from the game, so retribution was going to be a little harder to come by, but I agree. Maybe the next time they play, depending on what the suspension looks like, that would be when the retribution might come in. And final text before we hit the phone lines. Pat, if Zeri is out long-term, do you think now would be a good time to finally call up someone like Rory Karens? He's been outstanding, currently leading the league in goals and sitting second in overall AHL scoring. Given the Flames' ongoing struggles to generate offense, this could be the perfect opportunity to experiment with a prospect who's been torching the AHL. Ideally, you'd be slotting Karens into that third-line center role, which could help with scoring and provide a chance to evaluate his NHL potential. Additionally, he had great chemistry with Pelche earlier this year when Pelche spent the first 2 months in the American League. There could be something to build on if Zeri is out. What's your take on this idea? I don't mind it at all. I really don't mind that idea at all. I do wonder a little bit if they try Sharangovich down the middle before going Karens if Zeri has to miss significant time. I think it's safe to say Zeri will miss some time, but does he miss significant time? I don't know. We'll find that out. But on the front of, could this be a time for Rory Karens? Yes, absolutely. I believe it could be. I do wonder a little bit, though, if the Flames opt to go the Sharangovich route down the middle for a little bit before trying Karens. Not saying that's what I would do. I kind of feel like I'd go give Karens that opportunity because I'm not as big a fan of Sharangovich down the middle, but I do think the coaching staff has some ideas there, so we'll see what they end up doing. And again, you got to find out. I think, again, safe to say Zeri misses some time, so there's probably a recall, but if it ends up being far less severe than initially thought, well, then maybe they do more of a short-term recall. Maybe that's a Hunt or a Klapka. Keep Sharangovich down the middle for the time being and go about it that way. If it does end up being a little bit more long-term, then yes, I do think Karens would be a really good candidate to be looking at. Okay, text line remains open at 960-960. We remain pretty thin on the phone lines tonight at 403-240-4444. If you want to jump in, now's the time to do so because you won't get a busy signal. If you want to talk Zeri, if you want to talk the game, you want to talk all things Flames and this 3-2 overtime win over Anaheim, call now. 403-240-4444. This is your Flames Talk postgame show. Pat Steinberg along with you wherever you get your podcasts following a 3-2 overtime win over the Ducks. George kicking us off on the phone lines tonight. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good, man.
Good to hear, man. Oh, that was awful, man. I absolutely hated to see that. I'm hoping the best for Zeri, but that didn't look good at all. And in slow motion, it looked like far worse. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong and it's something that's not long term. But all I kept thinking about is the other two players, and I know completely different injuries, and those were innocuous, and this one was much more straightforward, and you could visually see what happened. But all I kept thinking in my head was, you know, just no good. And the way that the poor kid clutched his knee, like usually when a player reacts that way, they it's just not a good thing. So I'm really hoping the best for him, because first of all, for the player and his health, but second, what a massive hit to our team that would be.
Yeah. The other thing that is, you know, pretty worrisome is that it wasn't, I don't know if it was necessarily the actual contact, but it was kind of the slingshot after the contact. And that's what worries me, because it was such a violent, like, snap after contact, as he was kind of being swung around. So the initial hit happens and then he's getting spun and there's a big time recoil snap there. That's what worries me the most about it. Like, you see that a lot with soccer players. They miss a ball and they're going full on. Like, that can be a full on ACL tear. And again, that's Dr. Pat. I am not, so I'm not trying to be, not trying to diagnose at all. I just, that was also the worrisome part, is that there was a big time kind of recoil after the initial contact, which probably wouldn't have been good either. But then afterwards, that's what scares me. The leg isn't usually supposed to bend that way, but yeah, it didn't look good. I'm not necessarily expecting it to be short term, but again, sometimes these things look way worse than they actually are. You get some imaging done and maybe it's only a partial tear, or maybe it's a sprain as opposed to an actual tear. So fingers crossed.
Absolutely, fingers crossed and hoping for good news. You know, that's all we can do at this point.
Yeah.
The penalty kill on this team is absolutely atrocious, Patty. I don't know how they'll do it, but they need to completely revamp the PK at this point. I don't know if this is a coaching thing. I don't know if it's – look, I do understand. We don't have the personnel that we had last year. We've repeated this verbatim. But the penalty kill shouldn't be this embarrassingly bad. Like this, it's been a long time since the Flames have had a PK this bad, like a long time. It's crazy to see how bad their penalty kill is right now.
Yeah, I mean – I actually didn't mind it at all tonight. It's funny, they allowed a goal, but I thought it was actually pretty good tonight. That's and if Robert's listening right now, he's probably wanting to jump through his radio and smash my head into a wall or something like that. But maybe not so violent, Robert, if that's what you want to do. But I actually thought the penalty kill was pretty good tonight. They didn't allow much of anything at all. But one shot gets redirected and it's in, and that's seven straight games of the power play goal. And that's kind of what Ryan Huska has been talking about. It's like, we feel like they're actually showing some signs of life, but goals still keep going in. So yeah, I thought that maybe tonight was a step forward on the penalty kill. Anaheim doesn't have a very good power play either, which probably helps, but still power play goal goes in.
Yeah. And that's the point, right? Like, yeah, it may have looked better tonight, but that's fair enough. But that's seven in a row. And when you're a team that already can't score and you're trying to hold a lead, like, it's imperative, because you're at a point now where if you continue to allow penalty, like, you know, a goal a game on a penalty kill, like it's, you know, you're going to lose more than you're going to win. It's just, that's how it's going to go. And you're at the point where then you can't take penalties. And let's be honest, this is a sport of hockey. It's impossible not to take penalties. You're going to take penalties. You know, you're not going to go 7-8 games without taking a penalty. That's near impossible. So it's something that this team has been so good at for so long. And again, I preface that with saying we lost three of our greatest penalty killers last year. And, you know, that obviously that's a big reason why, but it's what it is. Final one for you, my friend, I'll let you go, but I do agree with you, Sharon Govich, while he did look better tonight, and I say this kind of in jest, but not. It seems like he's competing with Kuzmenko right now for who's the most futile goal scorer on the team. It's and I felt bad for him tonight because right now it seems like Sharangovic can't buy one with $1 million right now. Like, the thing with him is he is shooting it, unlike Kuzmenko until, you know, the Nashville game. He is shooting it. Like, he is getting opportunities. But even, like, the overtime, like, how he didn't end it in overtime before Huberto, like, it's weird. It's just weird to see how it's going for him this year.
Yeah, I am encouraged that over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 games, we are seeing a little bit more out of Sharangovic. And I thought he was actually pretty dangerous tonight. He hit that post, remember, on the power play?
Yeah.
I think actually Sharangovic has had, this could be a really big stepping stone game for him, because that was the first time in a long time, maybe all season, that he looked, or maybe going back to that stretch where he had goals in 3 straight games, I think in November. But this was the first time in a long time that he looked really dangerous and he really popped. So I thought it was a really, hopefully it's a step forward game for Sharangovic.
Yeah, I'm with you there, buddy. I hope so too, because, you know, especially now if Zeri is out for a prolonged amount of time, they're really going to need him to step up. And they're going to need Kuzmenko. And like I said, Kuzmenko's on, like, I feel like this is his, like, last ride type thing. Like,
well, I'm curious. Now, like, all of a sudden, now do you go Sharangovic, Kuzmenko, and Pelche for the game on Wednesday in Los Angeles, and then you can go Dewar on the line with Rooney and Lomberg? That could be a way you go about it.
I like that, Patty. I like that. I would try. Why not at this point, you know? Why not? Maybe you take the 2 goal scorers on this team who are struggling, put them together, see what happens, you know? You try what you can at this point, because this is the roster that you have, right? So you try what you can, and then you go from there. Good speaking to you tonight, my friend. Hopefully we'll talk tomorrow. We'll see. It's going to be a really late one tomorrow. It's going to be like
10:46. 10:46 your time when they drop the puck.
Fun times. We'll see how that one goes. If we don't speak tomorrow, we'll speak next game.
Okay, sounds good, Georgie. Be well, buddy. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you, my friend. Take care.
I may have already wished him Happy New Year. I don't know. I think he's called in the year 2025, but 2 Happy New Years. 403-240-4444. That's your phone number following a Flames 3-2 overtime win on the road in Anaheim. Jordan is up next. What's up, Jordan?
Oh, hey, Pat. I'm just hanging out. It's been a while since I've been able to call in. Just been busy. I was in Calgary for a bit watching. Went to a game there, which was fun. But, yeah, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, buddy. I'm good.
Yeah. First off, just want to say condolences. Rest in peace, Chopper, Al McNeil. You know, I didn't know much about him as I'm quite young and all that. But I was listening to the program today, and it seems like he had a huge impact on the Flames, on the league. And so, yeah, I just think, you know, condolences to his family. And, I feel for Connor Zeri, I mean, obviously we don't know anything right now other than it looked awful. but I'm really just hoping it doesn't seem as bad, or it doesn't end up being as bad as it looked. And then the fact that his mom was there to watch that too, I just feel for her. Like,
yeah.
It's gotta be. I know my mom was around for a rough football injury once in my life. And I know that's not easy for a parent to watch that, but you know, just hoping it ends up being okay. In the meantime, I hope the moms are kind of having fun. Otherwise, like, I've been watching the social medias and watching different accounts posting. It just looks like a blast. Like, that looks like a fun trip. I'm glad they're there to support their kids. Seems like, hey, maybe they got a bit of a bump today. Maybe it'll help them a bit tomorrow as well, because that one will be a bit tougher, hey?
Yeah, I mean, luckily it's not a significant travel situation. I mean, they stay in the same general area. I mean, bus ride, but And it's not the shortest bus ride of all time from Orange County into downtown LA, but still, it's not like you're changing time zones. It's not like you're racing to the airport, hopping on a flight, going up 30,000 feet and coming down. So it is a little easier on the travel side of things. But yeah, they'll have some heavier legs, and they're without one of they're going to be without one of their most important players for the game in Los Angeles. And the Kings are one of the better teams this year in the Pacific Division. So all those things make it tough, but opportunity for the Flames to pick up an impressive win too. So I guess there's opportunity or challenge, depends the way you look at it, right?
Yeah, and I was hearing you talk to the last caller there, and you were talking about the lineups, and it's funny because I was going to say the exact same thing. But yeah, Sharon Govich played a bit in the center there. I know it wasn't his best, most comfortable, but hopefully he can kind of settle into it maybe for as long as they need him to, even if it's just next game. And yeah, I think hopefully putting Kuzmenko up with him, if that's what they end up going with, maybe they can get something going together with those two, because of course they can just put Dewar back on the fourth line and not mess with the other top two lines there.
Yep.
I also thought, maybe it was just me, but I thought that Sharon Govich and Pospisil was an interesting pair to throw it for. Have they done that? I'm sure they probably have. It just seemed interesting to throw those two out there just because.
In overtime?
Yeah.
I honestly don't, and this is my own fault, I don't pay a ton of attention to, and I probably should pay more attention, but I don't pay a ton of attention to their kind of the overtime pairs they've used. It does vary. There is variance to it, but I can't remember off the top of my head them doing Pospisil and Sharon Govich as the two guys out there. I thought it was actually pretty savvy from Ryan Huska to recognize, as you'd expect, he's on the bench and seeing the game at a better view than you or I are, but, you know, also felt like Sharon Govich was really going tonight and gave him that opportunity in overtime. And Sharon Govich, a big part of creating the win, because it was his opportunity that allowed Pospisil to draw the penalty. And then, of course, they score on the power play.
Yeah, no, and of course, it was a good thing they scored on that power play. I mean, not for obvious reasons, they won the game, but I just thought on the Sharon Govich, he had that rebound. And again, he's the professional hockey player. I'm sitting on my couch. But it looked like he almost hesitated or tried to stick handle, kind of, you know, when he got the puck and spun around, it looked like he maybe could have shot it there, but maybe the angle wasn't great. I'm not too sure, but it almost looked like he hesitated for an extra half sec when he almost might have had a chance there. But I don't know. That's just my analysis. I'm no expert here.
Hey, they still won the game on the power play, so.
Exactly. So I can't complain. And then, yeah, I was listening to you. I think you were talking pregame. This is just random. I've wanted to ask for a while about the whole Pettersson thing. If you would be interested at all, if you think that would make sense, what do you think the Flames would have to give up? Would they be comfortable with what they'd have to give up? Because it seems like it'd be a pretty expensive price tag, you know, to get a player like that.
It would be. That said, I think they absolutely should. If I still don't know how much Elias Pettersson is on the block. Like, I don't know how seriously that is going to be the case, but if there is any chance for Elias Pettersson to be dealt, the Calgary Flames should be one of the teams that is heavily pursuing and looking at that. I firmly believe that. It would be an extremely expensive price to pay to bring him in, but honestly, there's very few things that you could put on the table and say, no, I wouldn't do that for Elias Pettersson. This guy is a 90 to 100 point center iceman who's 26 years old, who is signed and has cost certainty on a team that has no cap worries right now. I mean, if there's any chance the Flames could bring Elias Pettersson into the fold, I have no idea if the Canucks would have any desire to send him in division. I don't know those things. I can't speak to that. But if there's any chance at all, I think that the Flames should be all over that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I get that. And then one more kind of weird oddball. So, you know, the Ducks, they have their away jerseys, and they're similar to the Flames, right? They got the same kind of shoulder coloring and stuff, right? You know, the only difference being the orange and the red. But sometimes the Ducks wear an orange helmet away. I think the Flames would look really cool with a red helmet in the Ottawa game.
This is not to sound flippant or to sound like a jerk at all. I have no opinion on that. You know what? Sure. I agree. But I also I agree very ambivalently. How's that?
Oh yeah, no.
It was, very indifferently.
It was
really
fine. I just
thought I'd throw. Hey, it look here. I'll say this. I mean, I don't ever have a problem with teams trying things. I thought that the Kings and the Golden Knights, when they do those shiny helmets, I think they look horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I give them credit for trying something. So why not? You know, now that I think about it, why not?
I have a red toque and I wear it with the, I have the same away jersey and I think it looks cool. So
hey, if it looks good on you, if it looks good on you, Jordan, then it'll look good. It'll look good on the Flames.
Yeah. Anyways, that's all I got. I just figured it'd be fun to end on kind of an oddball thing like that. So yeah. All right. I'll let you keep going here, but appreciate the conversation.
All right, Jordan. Be well, buddy.
Yeah, you as well. Have a good rest of the night.
Okay, man. We'll talk soon. 403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 3-2 overtime win on the road in Anaheim. Gio is up next. What's up, Gio?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man.
It's been a minute. How have you been, my friend?
I'm good. I was wondering if it was the same guy. How are we doing?
Good, good. I'm still alive. Still kicking.
That's what I like to hear.
Just, I got a couple pointers here. I know everybody is trying to not pull the trigger, that's the wrong word to say, on Sharon Govich and Gazmenko. But, I mean, Pedersen in Vancouver, he's struggling. Like, I feel this season, it's kind of weird season for the Stars who made the name for themselves when they, a goal scorer's goal, right, from last season, right? And they have, like, a snake bitten this season. It's kind of a weird thing that's happening. It's not only for the Flames, but what I'm trying to say is they're still on the young side. I mean, look at Huberto's on the older side, but when he came to the Flames, he struggled, right? He struggled. But look at him now, right? And he's on the older side. I'd say, I just like everybody just, you know, breathe, relax about Kuzmenko and Sharangovich. They'll get their time. They're on the young side still.
I mean, Kuzmenko will be 29 soon. I don't know if I would put him on the young side. I would say he's still on the NHL experience side. He doesn't have a ton, but I mean, he'll be 29 next month. So I don't know
his
if I'd put
coming up. Yeah,
I don't know if I'd put him on the young side. I mean, he's on the young side for being a human, but NHL wise, probably not. Sharangovich, a little bit closer to that. I just think on the Sharangovich front, there's a lot of factors that I think have played into it. But I do think he's shown some signs, even though he hasn't scored, I think he's showing some signs of returning to the type of player they need him to be. And then on the other front, Kuzmenko, I don't know. I mean, I didn't love, but didn't dislike Kuzmenko tonight. I didn't think he was the type of guy you would have wanted him to be after what happened on Saturday, but I also didn't mind him on the power play. Kuzmenko is an enigma to me, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's just didn't figure it out yet. When is the good time to pull the trigger on Vladar? I know Vladar is being showcased for all the teams around the league.
You mean like when to go down the road and actually complete a trade?
Pull the trigger, yes.
I don't know, man. Like, I think you got to wait for the right deal. If you get the right return, then you can do it. I do think there's value in holding out though, and having a price and waiting to see if you get that price. Here's what I'd say.
Okay.
If they don't trade Vladar and let him walk in unrestricted free agency, that's okay with me. And I think that...
Really?
Yeah, because I think he has been very important to Dustin Wolf's development this year. Having him, even though he hasn't put up stellar numbers and his win-loss record isn't great, all that type of stuff, I think putting him in some of the more difficult spots this year is, as Dustin acclimates himself to being in the NHL full-time, I think that is important. And so Devin Cooley doesn't have the same type of experience that Vladar has. And so if they only are getting offers of fifth round picks and sixth round picks at the deadline, and Craig Conroy says, no, you know what? We may not re-sign him, but we're going to go through the deadline and keep him here. I have no problem with that. Even if he does end up walking to
free agency. I understand he's helping with Dustin Wolf's development, but I'm wondering if he struggles, then his value goes down. Does you agree where I'm going with this, right? Where I'm afraid is he, when he hits that struggle phase, and
we're still talking about Vladar.
Yes.
Well,
that's what I'm afraid of. If he struggles, right? And I know there's Dustin Wolf and stuff, but I'm just wondering. It'd be a good thing to trade and get a good value out of Vladar now, because he's
I don't think you're like, what's a good value?
I mean, a second rounder.
I think they would have done that already if that
maybe
existed.
I'm overstretching on that.
I think you are.
I mean, the only guy could dream, right?
Sure. I just don't know if that is a like, I think had they been able to get a second round pick for him, I do think they would have made the move already. I just don't think that exists right now for him.
And one other thing, just a crazy idea, just out there, right? I know we're going to have a lot of salary cap for next season.
Yeah.
Right? Just a crazy idea. Don't.
Okay. Let's get to it.
Jacob Trouba.
I wouldn't. I don't think it's like a horrible idea or anything like that. I just wouldn't. I don't think they need to bring in a player of that age in free agency.
But that'd be good with Bahal and Uyghur and Anderson, and my God, that'd be.
Yeah, I mean, Trouba's fine. He is what he is. I just don't think that it's something that they would need to be chasing at all. Honestly, it just.
Okay. All right. That's just a crazy idea. Well, take that, and Happy New Year for you.
Good to hear from you, Gio.
All your wishes comes true.
Okay, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, you too, bud. Take it easy.
403-240-4444 is your phone number following a Flames 3-2 overtime win on the road in Anaheim tonight. Let's say hello to Ryan. What's going on, Ryan?
I've got a bunch of crazy ideas that I'm about to tell you about. Now, just some ideas that are crazy. How you doing, Pat?
I'm good, buddy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I think that's the first time. It was actually a miserable New Year. I did not want to mention a certain University of Oregon football team even for a moment, because it was a devastating day. But I know the importance of fashion and branding on image. So I really liked where Jamie, I think his name was, where he's coming from. But honestly, it's too Soviet for me. I just get... like pictures of the sleeves. Yeah, you get it.
I haven't the slightest clue what on earth you're talking about.
The Russian team.
I still have no idea what you're talking about, but I love you to death, and you know that.
Oh, you don't know about Oregon Ducks branding? We have the best jerseys in the world.
I know.
I know that
they change up jerseys every game. I still don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, let's move on to hockey.
I was referencing the suggestion of the Flames.
Let's move on. Let's move on to hockey.
I was trying to give props for fashion sense. I thought it was a relevant point that you dismissed. It's okay.
You know what?
on the hockey
I'm okay with
I was
that.
Transitioning on the Russian team. I get putting Sharangovich with Kuzmenko. That makes perfect sense. Belarusian, and with Arquebecois, I think that idea is actually a really good idea for the time being.
And I think, you know, that is probably what they'll do for the game in L.A. What they do after that, I don't know. I mean, I think that it depends how Sharangovich does at center. I do know Ryan Huska and the coaching staff have been talking about moving Sharangovich and have been kind of kicking it around, like, do we want to do that for a little while now? And, you know, this is opportunity is the wrong word because it comes because of a really horrible looking thing for Zeri, but now the door's open anyway for them to do that. So see how he plays against the Kings. If that's the way they go, I assume they will. And then go from there. But I do think for the first time, there's real opportunity or real potential for a guy like Rory Karens maybe to get a look. It might not be right away. Like, it might not be Thursday or Friday, but sometime in the next little bit, I think the potential's there.
Yeah. And I also wanted to say, as far as Pettersson, I would prefer an earlier idea of yours, a certain Mikko Rantanen.
Look, I don't know how likely either of those things are.
No, very unlikely, but, you know.
Because do you really see Colorado letting Rantanen get away? I don't.
Oh, I thought you knew something I didn't
know. No. I just know that he, right now, he is one of the big name potential UFAs, but.
Colorado's been winning since you said that, though, haven't they?
And they've also been winning a lot. Like, they were never going to trade him. So I think.
So you did throw fake news out there for airtime. Okay.
I did not. I did not at all. In fact, I've never suggested that they would trade for him. I always said if he made it to unrestricted free agency, they would be all over him, as would 10, 15, 20 other teams. That's all I've ever said, Ryan. So let's not put words in my mouth.
Similar. It's not realistic, but it yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. I was saying you had a good idea before, and that was good. And second to that, I just wanted to add that I had a good point, but it left me. As far as Vladar losing value, I don't think that's likely to happen. He's proven his consistency over his tenure, short-term in Boston and here, so I don't think that concern is realistic. And the second round, I think, what would you speculate? I thought that was high as well. But
I mean, right now, I don't know. Like, I think fourth, fifth round is kind of maybe what you'd be looking at right now.
And it's always circumstantial, I guess, with who's desperate, if anyone. And
exactly, right? Like, if I don't know if you heard earlier today, Rye, we had Sarah Valli on Tuesday, and I asked him, like, about that, because Vladar shows up at number 21 on his latest trade targets list. And basically, what'll determine whether or not, A, the Flames move him, and B, if there is good value there, that'll be determined by the supply and demand. Like, is there a place that needs a backup? Is there a place that needs shoring up in a tandem, something like that? If that's the case, maybe they can extract some value in a trade. Otherwise, I think they might opt to not move them.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you thoroughly. Like, losing him as a free agent, if he stays, fulfills the contract, that would be fine. He's been great. I like him a lot. And I thought Jaeger played great tonight. I guess that's all I wanted to add.
Agreed.
But I was yelling, like, mad yelling, like I do with Kuzmenko. It was like, oh, no. Almost. But, so, yeah, I hope he keeps firing the puck. Kuzmenko shot a few times at the first period. That was encouraging. But after that, meh.
Yeah, I thought Kuzmenko, that's a good way. Kuzmenko's meh tonight. I really like Sharangovich,
too. He had a good first 5 minutes. Anyhow, it's a 25-minute drive from the Honda to Crypto, so it'll be a good bus. Just geographic update. Have a good night, Pat.
Have you been in L.A. traffic before?
I would like to shout out to the small minority, maybe one or two people in L.A. County right now that are on fire in Pacific Palisades.
I know. It's actually pretty scary. Wilsey just sent me some pictures. The SoCal fires are pretty scary. I hope everybody's able to be safe. Apparently it is smoky and gross. And yeah, the actual images are really scary. So all thoughts and prayers to everybody affected by those fires right now. But yeah, the LA area, that can be that can be bad traffic.
Yeah,
I've driven from LA to Anaheim or Anaheim to LA, and believe me, it's taken more than 25 minutes. and it's taken more than 25 minutes at like 11 p.m. at night.
Carpooling.
Even with the HOV lane.
yeah, it can be bad. Yeah. I did see the Kings were like 17 or 19-2 at home. That's freakish. We need to fix that.
Let me tell you.
It's some egregiously high number in two.
They are on home ice 14-2-1.
Yikes.
Hey, this is why it's either a challenge for the Flames or an opportunity for the Flames, depending on how you look at it.
It's the opportunity challenge. Right. Take care, Pat. I got nothing else left.
That was funny. Way to close it out. Bye, Ryan. Talk soon.
Tell me about it.
See you, buddy. An opportunity challenge. Hey, you never know what you're going to get when Ryan comes on. That's why I love when he comes on. Okay, last call for phone calls. If you're on hold, stay there. We will get to you. If not, call now. It is last call, 403-240-4444. Flames win 3-2 in overtime over the Anaheim Ducks this evening. Obviously, Connor Zeri, the big news on the bad news front. The win, the big news on the good news front. 3-2 overtime win. Jonathan Huberdeau scores the overtime winner. Phone lines 403-240-4444. It's last call. By the way, if you're wondering where Anand is, he is not called tonight, but don't fret. He's 10 feet away from me. He's shadowing with Azam on practicum right now. So don't worry that Anand hasn't called. He is alive. He's well. All is good. He's 10 feet from me. I know that right around now we would have heard from Anand usually, but not tonight because he's on practicum with us and he's shadowing with his arm right now. So just wanted to put that out there as well. Mackenzie Weegar turned 31 today, and on his 31st birthday, goal, assist, hell of a game. Thought Mackenzie had himself a whale of a game. Not as, you know, a couple of games lately where hasn't been maybe up to standard. Well, how about a game-leading 26 minutes and 46 seconds. Goal, assist, 2 points, plus one, 5 shots, 11 attempts, 1 hit. Dude was out of his mind. Megan Mickelson called him named him the hardest working Flame. And here's Mackenzie Weegar, the birthday boy inside the Flames locker room following a 3-2 overtime win over the Anaheim Ducks.
Well, just obviously the significance of the way that you guys kind of fought through it tonight. Obviously there was some adversity throughout it. How did you find a way to get it done?
Yeah, it was a gritty road game for us. I thought for the most part we played a pretty solid game tonight. We came out the right way. Obviously, you know, momentum changes throughout the game, and it's in their building, so they're obviously gonna have a little pushback. But Wolfie made some big saves when he needed to. The power play in overtime was great. The moms are having a blast out here.
Right on cue.
Yeah, but it's a great win. I said to Les earlier, the dads put a lot of pressure on the moms, to have a big road trip. They went 3-0, so they're doing a great job. They're doing their part, so it's a good start to the trip.
How tough is it to see Connor Zeri lying there?
Yeah, that's tough. He's a huge part of this team. He's a hell of a player, and he's a great kid. And, when you see a player like that go down like that, you kind of rally the team and rally the troops to, get a win for him. But he's a tough Sasky kid. He'll be all right. I don't know the significance of it, but obviously didn't look very good. But, he's got a great team, great support staff with him here, great trainer. So he'll be all right, and happy to get the win also for him.
On a night where he had lots of good looks, but to get a couple of bounces to go your way, that's got to feel pretty good for the group.
The last few games is, I thought we played good, but we've kind of found a way to get on the other side of the short end of the stick, I should say. So when you get a couple bounces like off my pad like that, and I don't even know how that overtime goal went in. You know, those bounces are great, but we earned those chances. We worked hard for those chances. You know, the game's fair. So I thought, you know, we worked hard. We were on the other side of those bounces, and we'll take them when we can.
Probably a sign of good things when you hear the moms coming down to
here we go. We're gonna have a rowdy bus ride over to LA. It's gonna be fun. I love it.
There you go. Mackenzie Weegar on his 31st birthday, goal, assist, his thoughts post game tonight. Final score 3-2 in overtime, Flames over the Anaheim Ducks. One more time, last call for phone calls, 403-240-4444. If you want to jump in, call now. Keep your texts coming at 960-960. One more look inside the locker room. More of your texts, more of your phone calls. Flames Talk postgame rolls on this Tuesday night into Wednesday morning if you're listening live. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts. And live right here, this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Final score tonight, Flames 3, Ducks 2 in overtime. Flames have now won 9 straight at the Honda Center. The little shop of horrors no more. Now, since 2004, quick math, Steinberg, they're only 16 games below 500 there. 25 straight losses, 9 straight wins. Why not? Last trip inside the Flames locker room, Nazem Kadri with his 15th goal of the season. He was a big part of the win tonight. Let's hear from Nazem postgame in SoCal.
Probably not often you get that kind of reception walking into the hallway, I guess. How did that feel?
Yeah, it was great. It's always nice to get a win, especially in front of the moms. I think it's a little, you know, more extra incentive. It sounds like they had themselves a bit of a day. So, you know, it's nice to see them enjoying themselves.
Well, I mean, obviously the win is the biggest important, most important part. But when you look at just, you know, having them here, the impact and kind of that feeling that it gives the group.
I think so. It's a little bit energizing and definitely a different feel. I think... you know, the dads are probably sitting at home scratching their heads right now and, you know, wanting to be here, but it's always nice to give the mom some love.
How did you do it tonight? How did you guys find a way to do it?
I thought it was great. You know, a little choppy throughout the, you know, middle portion of the game, but I think we came out strong. We finished strong. Nice to get the PP going with a nice goal there. So, you know, we'll certainly take those 2 points on the road. They were tough to get tonight.
Can you talk just a little bit about the emotion of seeing your teammate, you know, writhing on the ice there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We're hoping the best. I'm not sure what you know, what the situation was, but obviously we're on his side, and it was nice to see the guys get in there and stick up for him, and that's the kind of group we have.
You didn't think it was an ugly hit or anything like that?
Honestly, I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah.
I'd have to watch it again. I saw it briefly. It was given a 5-minute major, so I'm assuming it wasn't great.
There you go. Nazem Kadri, postgame tonight in Anaheim. Back to the text line we go at 960-960. This from Brian. Brian in Calgary says, I've listened to your response on the Zeri hit. I completely understand your sentiment. It's a no-win situation for anyone. Look, I don't think that Drew Helleson tried to hurt Connor Zeri. I still think that it's a hit that should be looked at by Department of Player Safety. I still think it was reckless. And because of that, again, no malicious intent. I think he was trying to throw a textbook-ish hit on Zeri. But there's always the chance that a player is going to cut on you. And so you got to be, and I get it, split-second game, fastest game on earth. I get all that. And having never been in Drew Helleson's situation, it's super easy for me to say, but you can't stick out your knee even a little bit in that situation. And that's why I do think Department of Player Safety is going to look at it. And I hope it's nowhere near as bad as it looked when it comes to Zeri. Speaking of which, this from Spencer. Very worried about Zeri. No intent to injure, but you know as a defender in that situation that it can happen, and there was definitely movement of his knee towards Zeri's. Anyway, thought Sharkey looked better again tonight, but holy crap, he cannot put it in the net. there you go, from Spencer on the text line. Couldn't the last little bit wouldn't have made sense unless you heard something a little earlier. What else we got here at 960-960. This reads from Murray. First of all, hopefully Zeri's okay. Pat, do you think it's time Wolf gets a good run of games? Sounds like he's playing well. Let's see if they have a franchise goalie. I guess it depends on Vladar. I think that it's not out of the possibility that they do give Wolf a little bit more leeway after a loss or something like that, or maybe roll him out after a win more than they have on a back-to-back. I don't think there's any reason to force Wolf again. I think that you could, I think it would make the most sense to go to Vladar. I mean, crazier things have happened. I'm not suggesting it will be Vladar 100% against Los Angeles Wednesday night, but would make the most sense, I think, to go to Vladar on the second half of the back-to-back and then go Wolf against the Kings on Saturday when they're back at home. This from Stafford and Hillhurst. Pat, is that potentially the third player this year they may lose to a lower body injury? I hope it's not as serious as it looks, but if it is, hoping for his swift recovery. On the positive side, for a rebuilding team, it opens the door for another prospect to come up and prove their mettle. Who do you think will get the nod if they bring up another Wrangler to fill the void? It could be another player lost long-term. We'll see. We know that both Kirkland and Mantha, they weren't lower body injuries. We know the Flames announced they were ACL tears. As for the, I think my guess is that they go like Hunt or Klapka or a winger to begin with. This is just a guess, and there's a strict, but I do wonder, and this is why I guess this way, I do wonder if they roll Sharangovich down the middle for a little bit and call up a winger. And you could always put Kerens on the wing too, so maybe Kerens could be a part of that. But I do personally like the idea, if Zeri's out for any stretched period of time, I like the idea of going Kerens. Whether or not they do that, I'm not 100% sure, but I that's what I would be doing now. And for the first time, I would be maybe pounding the desk for it. It never really made a ton of sense before with the recalls because they, you know, Coronado filled Mantha's spot immediately, so you were recalling for the fourth line. And Kirkland was on the fourth line, so you were still recalling for the fourth line. Now I don't think you are necessarily. And as such, I think for the first time, it could make a lot of sense to go Rory Kerens on a recall. This says, great win, unfortunately overshadowed by that injury to Zeri. Doesn't look good. Rest in peace, Al McNeil. That comes from our friend Smiley. This says, could you maybe see the Flames go 11-7 next game and roll three centers? They have yet to do that this year. They have not gone 11-7 yet this year. My guess is they bring Dewar back in up front. Myself. This from Sonny, who says, howdy, Pat. Had a great night watching the game at Richmond's Pump and enjoying fellow fan reaction. We love Huberdeau. I'll start a Huberdeau chant next game I attend. Loving Huska and Trent on the bench. The reactions to the Zeri hit and team composure after was awesome. Full marks to Dustin Wolf. Saw Mike Vernon in person, and Wolf reminds me so much of him. Question floating around the bar, do you think Rory Kerens gets called up if Zeri's injured? All the best. That comes from Sonny. And I think we've covered not dismissing Sonny's text, but I do think we've covered the Zeri front. The Kerens front if Zeri's out for any period of time. Raj says, don't you think Vancouver's overreacting to trying to move Elias Pettersson, especially if he is an elite player your team drafted and developed? Why would the Canucks not preach patience for Pettersson? I don't think good GMs and organizations run this way because of infighting. Seems like a distraction for the team. Raj, I agree. I have the same questions, but Vancouver does what Vancouver does. Finally, from Amanda, Pat, I know you've explained this before, but can you give me the quick dummy version of what the situation with the first round picks over the next 2 years are and us sending one to the Habs? Thanks in advance. Amanda, basically it works like this. If the Flames finish this season and are in position to draft in the top 10. So if they finish anywhere from 23 to 32 overall, then they will retain their pick and transfer Florida's pick to Montreal. However, if the Flames finish 22nd or better and draft outside of the top 10, then their pick would go, or the higher pick, the better pick would go to Montreal. So say the Flames drafted 12th overall and Florida drafted 29th overall. Well, Calgary would keep 29 overall. Montreal would get 12 overall. The only way the better pick doesn't transfer to Montreal is if it's in the top 10 because it is top 10 protected. That's kind of the Coles Notes version of what we're talking about. Great stuff on the text line. Text line tonight, really appreciated at 960-960. And time for one more call on the phone lines as Grant, you are wrapping us up on the phone lines tonight following a 3-2 overtime win in Anaheim. What's up, Grant?
Hey, Patty, I didn't see it all, but I heard about this hit and these neon knee things. What's going on here? Like, I don't want to talk too much about that. It's good they won, but, you know, another thing I'd like to say quickly is, are we going to make a trade here? Because this looks like we need one.
Well, I don't, I think that they are in the market or listening on moves that would fit what they're trying to do long term. I don't think that they are chasing down anything immediately just to make a trade because, you know, they need to fill something right now. I think that that they are very much interested in acquiring a young center if that young center exists. Everything that I've been told, is that those prices are super high right now and a little unattainable. So unless that changes, I don't know if that's going to happen. I guess what I would tell you, Grant, is I don't think the Flames will be making the type of move just to try to address the rest of this season, you know?
Okay, so it could be a depth thing or it could be, you know, someone we really need, like a depth. Another depth defenseman or something if you're going to go into the playoffs, say, like something.
Well, but that if they're going to do a depth defenseman, that would be like in that would be a whole lot closer to the trade deadline.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? They're winning. That's one of the things that hadn't happened before, right? So we talked about this before, but that's good news and we'll take the win, and we're not going to take this cheap shots, though. The cheap shots, I think, got to stop in the NHL. Like, you know.
I don't think this was a cheap shot, though. I think this was an unfortunate play. I don't think there was any intent or any this wasn't a guy going out and trying to hurt Connor Zary. This was a bang-bang play where I think a guy maybe got a little overzealous, but I wouldn't call it a cheap shot myself.
Okay, well, I would have to look at it. But on the whole, I really believe here, like I've said before, this team's a little bit different. There's something about Huska and how they play for him, right? They're playing for him. So, you know, they've had some, you know, Manta, I thought it was a good player to start, and then he went out. And then, you know, it's next up mentality, right? They have to have this mentality as, you know, like Zary has the mentality. He's a good player, right? I just think it's next up mentality with the Flames because we're all looking back at this and going, well, they shouldn't have done nothing this year, right? So, you know, they're doing something, so let's try to get in there, I guess, eh?
Yeah, and now almost halfway through the season, Grant. I appreciate the call tonight, man. You be well.
Yeah, have a good one.
Okay, see you, Grant. Bye. And that will wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. Appreciate all the phone calls. Appreciate all the texts, as always. Obviously, the Connor Zary situation looms large over this 3-2 overtime win in Anaheim tonight. Time for tonight's final summary here on our Flames Talk postgame show. Flames never trailed en route to the victory. Mackenzie Weegar opened the scoring at 19:04 of the first period. Weegar's fifth from Blake Coleman and Joel Hanley. Flames led 1-0. nothing after 20. Ducks tied it at 8:34 of the second. Alex Killorn scores his eighth of the year. Killorn from Isaac Lundestrom and Jackson Lacombe at 8:34, but Kadri restores the lead. Nazem Kadri restores the lead just over 4 minutes later. Kadri scores his 15th of the year from Uyghur and Hanley at 12:44. Flames led 2-1 after 40 minutes of play. Ducks tie it again. Power play redirect from Mason McTavish at 7:36 on the power play in the third period. McTavish tips home his sixth of the year from Cutter Gauthier and Pavel Mintikov, and we had a 2-2 tie. That was your score after 60 minutes of play. Mintikov takes a penalty in overtime, though, sends the Flames to a 4-on-3 overtime power play, and eventually, actually pretty quickly right afterwards, Jonathan Huberdeau wins the game in overtime for the Flames. Huberdeau scores his team-leading 17th of the year from Matt Coronato at 2:05. Power play goal leads us to our 3-2 final score. Final shots, 33-27 in favor of the Flames. Calgary 1-for-3 on the power play tonight, and Anaheim goes 1-for-2 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight, number 3, Jackson Lacombe, number 2, Mason McTavish, and with the game winner, your number 1 star was Jonathan Huberdeau. Hardest working Flame, as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight, was Mackenzie Weegar. With the win, Flames improved to 19-14-7. Back at it Wednesday night, tomorrow, on the road in Los Angeles, while Anaheim falls to 17-18-5. Back in action Thursday on the road in St. Louis. That is our final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show. It's available, as always, on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up, tomorrow, or if you're listening on Wednesday night, Flames on the road in Los Angeles to take on the Kings. 8:30 face-off. It's actually 8:46 Calgary time, but officially 8:30 face-off at Crypto.com Arena, which means we'll be on the air at 7:30 with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from Anaheim tonight, Flames 3, Ducks 2 in overtime. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.